From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message entitled The Holy War of Sanctification, part of this series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 17, verses 17 and 18. The children of Israel had completed the conquest of Canaan by and large, yet each tribe still had to possess the land that had been allotted to them, for in every case almost, pockets of resistance remained. In our text, Joshua exhorts the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, saying, Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong. During this message, Dr. Cairns has been applying these words to the Christian life. Those who know Christ as their Savior are still engaged in battle against sin, and this continues as long as they live. These are the Canaanites, whose presence is a source of grief to every believer. The command to Israel was, drive out all of them, and so it must be for the children of God. There must be no toying with sin. Rather, the believer is to flee from it. We are in an unremitting war against sin. Yet, as the text intimates, the Canaanites could be driven out. The power of Christ is more than sufficient for this battle. Obviously, victory is possible only as we stay close to the Savior. Before Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me. The cry of the Christian religion is the gentle word, come. The Jewish law harshly said, go. Take heed unto thy steps as to the path in which thou shalt walk. Break the commandments, and thou shalt perish. Keep them, and thou shalt live. The law was a dispensation of terror, which drove men before it as with a scourge. The gospel draws with bands of love. Jesus is the good shepherd going before his sheep, bidding them follow him, and ever leading them onwards with the sweet word, come. The law repels. The gospel attracts. The law shows the distance which there is between God and man. The gospel bridges that awful chasm and brings the sinner across it. From the first moment of your spiritual life until you are ushered into glory, the language of Christ to you will be, come, come unto me. As a mother puts out her finger to her little child and woos it to walk by saying, come, even so does Jesus. He will always be ahead of you, bidding you follow him as the soldier follows his captain. He will always go before you to pave your way and clear your path, and you shall hear his animating voice calling you after him all through life. While in the solemn hour of death, his sweet words with which he shall usher you into the heavenly world shall be, come, ye blessed of my Father. Nay, further, this is not only Christ's cry to you, but if you be a believer, this is your cry to Christ. Come, come! You will be longing for his second advent. You will be saying, come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. You will be panting for nearer and closer communion with him. As his voice to you is, come, so your response to him will be, come, Lord, and abide with me. Come and occupy alone the throne of my heart. Reign there without a rival, and consecrate me entirely to thy service.
He cares for you, he cares for you, he ever loves and cares for you. He'll do what no one else can do. For
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Put your hand in the fire, don't ask God to stop your hand getting blistered. If you don't want it blistered, keep it out of the fire. There are certain sins that have a particular fascination. And it's very easy to temporize. It's very easy to explain these things away. It's very easy to come to terms with our sin. We are called to unremitting war against sin. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12, O man of God, flee these things. That's the first thing. Flee. You know what's wrong with so many Christians? You know why they're backsliding? You know why they have no spiritual power in their lives? It's because they're dawdling in the presence of sin. They're hanging around the scene of sin. They're laying themselves open to the attacks of sin. Paul says to Timothy, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I want you to see the order. You cannot follow Christ unless you're fleeing from sin, for they're going in opposite directions. You cannot follow Christ unless you're fleeing from sin. And if you're not actively battling your lusts and your temptations and your wickedness and your inborn sin and all the things that would hinder you from going on with God, if you're not battling against your sin, if you're not running from sin, then you're not following hard after Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Flee these things and follow these things as you follow Christ. Is it easy? No, it's not. Beware of these people who tell you sanctification is a very easy thing. You make a decision, you walk an aisle, you get a second blessing, suddenly, bang, like that there, you're sinlessly perfect. Those people are lying to you. It's not true. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Do you notice this? If you're going to flee those things and follow those things, you'll have a battle in your hands. Fight. But how do you fight? Not in the flesh. Not with willpower. Fight the good fight of faith. In other words, it's what I have been saying for years in this pulpit. Let what you believe concerning the gospel determine how you live. Get your eyes on Christ who died for you and who rose again for you. Let Christ fill your heart. Let Christ fill your mind. Let the faith of the gospel be that great compulsive power within you. And as you believe Christ and take your stand on Christ and His victorious work, you will have power to flee this and follow this. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Could I paraphrase that? You say you're going to heaven? You say you're called to glory? You say the highest point of your existence for all eternity will be to be conformed body and soul to Jesus Christ, sinlessly perfect? You tell me that is your calling from God, and that is your joyous expectation, that you're living in anticipation of eternal glory? Is that what you say? Then, says Paul, here and now, lay hold of this, because of sinless perfection for all eternity is your greatest joy. Well, then start battling sin now. But don't kid yourself that you're looking forward to be sinlessly perfect if you're quite happy to be as sinful as you can get away with down here. No excuses. No pet sins. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. This is a call to comprehensive holiness. Paul prayed for the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. That's why the epistles call for holiness in personal life, holiness in family life and family relationships. And Peter says, if they're not right, they'll hinder your praying. Calls for holiness in church life. Calls for holiness in public life. This is comprehensive holiness. What is the message? It's the message Joshua gave to the Israelites. The Canaanites should be driven out. There's a second strand to that message. It was that the Canaanites could be driven out. Not only should they be, but they could be. The text was a message of comfort. The Lord intended Israel to enter into that inheritance and enjoy it. And his grace and his power were enough to deal with the foes. And that's his message to us. Time forbids that I pursue this at great length, but let me make the statements very clearly. Holiness and victory over sin are the birthright of every born-again believer. Paul told the Romans in chapter 6, verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin will not be your Lord. Christ is your Lord. No man can serve two masters. In 1 John 5, verse 4, the apostle says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's a plain statement to which there are no exceptions. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the birthright of every Christian. This is why Christ died. Titus 2:14 says, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's why he died. Joshua told the Israelites that their enemies could be driven out. The Savior's telling us that our sins can be driven out. Have we not already experienced something of Christ's power? Hasn't he saved us? When you look back to what the Lord did in saving you, is it not a miracle? Have we not already had some victories over sin? Can we not look back to see where God has given us victories in places where before we had awful defeats? Have we not seen others receive great victories? Have we not seen the gospel at work in the lives of men and women doing things that none but God could do? We know that the enemy can be driven out. The question then is, why do so many of us suffer so much defeat? Why do so many Christians not drive out the enemy? The answer is the very same as we find in the book of Joshua. Christians fail to drive out their sins for the reasons Israel failed to drive out the Canaanites. Some of Israel's enemies seem too difficult. Sometimes we give up thinking that sin is too big, or that battle would be too long, or too costly, or too extreme. Is it not extreme to say drive them all out? Is it not extreme to go to that length? No, it's not. It's God's word. Another reason in Israel was fear and unbelief. That fear and that unbelief will keep us from victory. Their eyes were sometimes more on the enemy than they were on the Lord. And let me tell you, that's the major reason why Christians don't get the victory. When they have their eyes more on the enemy than they have them on the Lord. You know, there are Christians who spend far more time doing just about everything else under the sun than they do in fellowship with God, in the Word of God, in prayer, in service. I believe that a Christian, whatever his calling, whatever his job, should be on the job for Christ continually, always ready to give to any man who asks an answer and a reason for the hope that lies within him. I've told you before of an old friend of mine who was a driver, used to drive one of these great semis that was carrying tons and tons of fuel from here to there across the country. Didn't matter where he went. If he was caught in a traffic jam and he had to get out, he would talk to somebody about the Lord. When he was asked to do a bit of driving that was particularly dangerous, to get fuel in a very, very severe weather pattern into a town called Rathfrieland. In Northern Ireland, it's called Rathfrieland in the Hill because you've got to go up a terrible incline to get to the town no matter which direction you come from. One driver had tried and failed. It's enough to wreck a man's nerve. Sheet ice. If this thing stops on this hill, you start going back, you're possibly going to your death. But there are hospitals up there. They need the fuel. Will you go? I'll go. But first I'll use going as a way to witness to an ungodly manager of Christ. It doesn't matter what a Christian's job is. He should be on the job for Jesus. But oh, there are Christians today, and they've so got their eyes on the world, on the enemy, on their sin, they have lost the vision of Christ. Lost the vision of Christ. They have no heart for the war. They want to give up. Want to be comfortable. Want to be an onlooker in the things of God. A spectator in the great fight of faith. In some cases it seems profitable to do that. The Israelites, you know, put some of these Canaanite tribes under tribute. They started to make money out of them. It's a terrible thing when Christians start making money out of their sin. Why do we suffer defeat? The enemy says that the Lord says the enemy should be driven out. He told them he could be driven out. But thank God, there is the final great thought that the Canaanites would be driven out.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.